Well, hello, hello, guys. It's Beauty by Dr. K, and we are doing a 5-Minute Friday with my good friend, Stuart Barker. Welcome, Stuart.
Hello, Dr. K. How are you?
Great. And this 5-Minute Friday is going to be all about champagne. So, Stuart, what is your job?
I work for a division of Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy and selling the wines and spirits division with brands like Dom Perignon, Veuve Clicquot, Moët and Chandon, Krug, Ruinart, and many others.
Wow, and I love your accent. Where are you from?
Well, I was born in England. Don't hold that against me. But I've been in the U.S. since 1979. But despite that still sound this way, I guess I'm a very slow learner.
Well, we welcome you to America. But we know Stuart for many, many years. You were my husband's roommate at Pomona College. Is that right?
That's right. And he was my best man at my wedding. Many, many years ago, too many years ago to share with your listeners.
I hope there's not too much background noise because we are in Napa Valley and I've been so thrilled to get a very special tour of Moët and Chandon, the winery, and learn all about the champagne process. So I thought, wow, let's share that. So what can you teach us today about champagne?
Well, Champagne, not just technically, but legally, is from the Champagne region in France. But having said that, our company owns one of the world's very finest sparkling wines using the Champagne method, and that brand would be Chandon.
Perfect. And that's a really great entry-level sparkling wine / champagne for all of our millennials and people who want to just have a good time on a budget.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
Yes, so I know nothing about champagne and wine. Love it, but not really a connoisseur. So how do I know if I'm getting a cheap champagne or a good quality one?
Well, there are actually 50 million bubbles in a bottle of champagne, and also Chandon is around that as well. And you can rest assured if you buy any of the Moët Hennessy brands, you're going to have some of the finest products available. But look for Champagne method specifically. That is no compromise in terms of the multi-stage process of production. Everything's taken very, very seriously, including growing the grapes, harvesting, production, and bottling and selling.
Right. We saw a beautiful, beautiful production facility today and was very surprised to know about all the different kind of grapes that go into things. So what goes into regular champagne?
Champagne uses three of the noble grapes. We've got Pinot Noir, we've got what used to be called Pinot Meunier and is now called Meunier, and Chardonnay.
And rosé, one of my new favorites. What's in a rosé in addition to that?
That would be a combination, a mixture of combining the white and red wines. And it just depends on the winemaker and the brand profile that you look for. And it's slightly more expensive because of the additional steps involved in production and usually slightly sweeter.
I tend to like a sweeter drink, but I think the original champagne is a little drier and tarter, right?
It is, and it's called Brut, which by definition means dry. But there are some sweeter versions. Demi-sec is one offering, and then there are some even sweeter offerings, and we call that dosage, the sweeter, the more sugary offering that is provided. But the lion's share of champagne today is all about Brut and that preference for a drier tasting champagne.
Right, the higher dosage of sugar.
Yeah, well, that would be the demi-sec as opposed to Brut, which is drier.
Right, and your company is run by Louis Vuitton, LVMH, Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy, right? Did I say right?
Yep.
Yes,
right.
And have you met the CEO?
Our global CEO I have not met. He manages 50 different companies like Bulgari, Fendi, Givenchy, Dior, some of the big luxury brands out there. It is the biggest luxury company in the world. But I certainly work with our leadership and CEOs for Moët Hennessy, and all very good people, as you can imagine.
Wonderful. So if you're new starting out and you haven't tried champagne, highly, highly recommend the Etoile, which we tried. That was delicious. Moët and Chandon, it's been aged about 5 years. I really like the Sweet Star. That was delicious. What's your favorite?
Brut is very good, but you know, for a change, Sweet Star, but also rosé. I mean, I know I'm sounding like a company man saying almost all of them, but for the different occasion, a different offering. But Sweet Star is one of the newer offerings, and for those who like something a little bit sugary. Sweet Star's the good offer to buy. Have the cork go flying across the room and hit the ceiling and potentially avoid hitting someone. In fact, don't ever hit anyone, obviously, because you could cause some damage. The right way to do it, though, is with a very gentle pop, almost inaudible, and that's driven by a very slow, gradual opening of the bottle, turning the bottle and not the cork. And the cork is within what's called a cage, a wire cage. And you can take it from me. It's about 6 turns, maybe 6.5 turns to open that wire cage. Never point the bottle at anyone. Because, you could cause some damage. There's a lot of pressure in that bottle. But no pop.
So how many bubbles are in a glass of champagne?
Well, I'd have to do the math for you on the fly, but I can certainly answer the question that you first came up with just now in a bottle. And yes, research has been done with this. It's approximately 47 million bubbles. So even if the product is priced at $60 to $160, I think the average cost per bubble is something like 0.000006 cents. So not a bad deal.
What are some other interesting facts about champagne?
Well, it's one of the oldest drinks around. I'm privileged to work on some of the finest brands, as you can imagine, including Rouenard. You don't pronounce the T, and that is the oldest champagne house in the world. But there's a huge history, and champagne has got to come from the region called Champagne in France. Otherwise, it's a sparkling wine, or if it's from Italy and a certain designated territory or region, it's Prosecco. In Spain, it would be Cava, depending on the designation and region. So it's very, very highly specialized. Grapes are hand-picked. There is no compromise in terms of quality standards. It's highly, highly regulated. The champagne grapes, they grow in really very poor soil, which is a surprise to most people. It's very chalk intensive, but that causes the roots of the vines to really struggle and fight for water, which in turn causes them to be very very rich, full, intense. And they, of course, vary depending on where they're grown, what varietal, and so on.
Interesting. And lately I've seen the trend to not drink champagne in flutes anymore. Why is that?
Well, historically, the flute would be more about that ritual celebration, that one special occasion, maybe New Year's Eve, when in fact moving into more of a Chardonnay glass allows you to have more of a casual approach to champagne. Still, you know, an important evening with a friend or a partner, but, you know, not necessarily being stuffy. And, you know, just relaxing the mood, but also tasting the product. It allows the product to breathe more and for you to get your nose in there and really become part of the liquid.
Well, that's amazing. And I just want to thank you for such a great weekend and an amazing tour of Moët and Chandon. You guys have to come up to Napa and check it out. And don't hold those bottles too long. Drink them. Enjoy. That's it for now. Stay beautiful.